Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I am your host, Stacey Emery, joining you live from Atlanta, Georgia. I am so excited to be on the line tonight with some awesome ladies, some fabulous ladies, my co-host, Dr. Ayo Kedar, and Ms. Kalina Brown, licensed psychologist and counselor. And so we are excited about this because for those of you that may have been joining us for the last couple weeks, we've been doing a series, and it's been a three-part series called Are You Broke? And when most people hear Are You Broke, they're thinking financially. So, of course, we started it off with the finances, talking about money in the first week. And during that week, I was joined by my other co-host, the awesome Mr. Billy Miller. But tonight, we're going to talk about what it means to be broken emotionally. What does it mean to be broken down just physically, mentally, emotionally, to where you just feel like you've done it all, you've had it all, you can't do anymore, you can't take anymore? And honestly, when I think about this topic, when I think about being broke down emotionally, a lot of it has to do with the scars and the hurt that we carry from our past. Sometimes it's hurt that's been inflicted upon us from other people. Sometimes we're guilty about things we've done on our own, and sometimes we've hurt other people and haven't been able to forgive ourselves. So really, you can go so many different ways with this topic. But again, it's really about being broken emotionally. And we're going to talk about, you know, what that means for many people, but also what we can do to get ourselves out of that broken state. And so, Kalina, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I hear you. Now, when we talk about this, you know, what does it mean to you when I say, you know, and if I were to ask you, what does it mean to you to be broken down emotionally, how would you define that?
Well, it would have to do with your perception of what healthy looks like. And I think the thing that we want to begin to understand is that when we talk about emotional health, it is parallel to physical health. So when you have emotional breakdowns, we look at our functionings. Are we able to sleep at night? Do we toss and turn? Are we able to think straight? Are our thoughts confused? These are some of the signs that we look for when we're attempting to assess a person's mental status. So when I am asked a question, I immediately go into the clinical mode because I think it's very important that we begin to understand that emotional health is a real live illness, and it's just not when we say we're having some kind of a problem that we look at on the surface. So for me, it's very serious, and it's one that I think we really want to become versed in so that we can understand the symptoms and know when it's severe enough to go get help.
Definitely. And like you said, how it ties to that whole physical piece, you know, because I know just for me personally, you know, I reflect over times when I feel like I've just been so overwhelmed, you know, whether it's been, you know, from work or things going on with family, whatever it may be. And it's so funny how we can start off with your emotions. You know, like I said, I really always go back to the hurt piece for most people and how it affects you physically. You know, you can start feeling pains, you get sick. For me personally, it was migraines and nausea, you know, so it shows up in different ways for different people. But definitely it is a real illness, and it's definitely something that people need to be able to identify in order for them to be able to correct it before it manifests itself in some type of physical way in the body. So I think it's very important for us to talk about it. And I appreciate you being on, Kalina, just to share a different perspective, because for me personally, you know, I don't have, it's not really my expertise. I can only go based off observation and the conversations I've had with other people through counseling and so forth. So I appreciate you being on with us tonight. And then also, you know, we have the Miss Dr. Ayo Kedar on the line. Dr. Ayo, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Hey.
Come on, hey. You know, Colleen and I were just talking about, you know, being broke down emotionally and what that meant to us. But what do you think of when, you know, when you're discussing being emotionally broken or also physically broken? What does that mean to you?
Oh, my gosh. That could be so, this is such a heavy topic. And, you know, of course, only on MindShift Radio, MindShift Talk Radio can you hear these type of topics. So, you know, I'm glad you are bringing it. We are bringing it to the people, okay?
Real.
We got to bring it to y'all. I'm glad you guys are tuning in. You know, that is so deep when you are broken down spiritually. I mean, that could be so many different things, whether you're displaying it through physical symptoms because your hair is falling out or you have chronic back issues or you're having headaches and migraines or, you know, where your body is physically talking to you about you being broken down. Because when I think broken down emotionally, that means, you know, it's probably some stress going on. You know, you're wearing on yourself about whatever, whatever issues you have that you haven't let go of. So it can be physical symptoms when you're emotionally broken down. It can be how you can get angry easily. You know, you have emotional triggers where it's the littlest thing just make somebody snap. You're like, goodness gracious, what? What?
Definitely.
Like, did you wake up on the wrong side of the, you know, what's going on? So, you know, it can be so many different things when you are just broken down where you have, when you wake up in the morning and you have nothing that you feel thankful about. You know, you are definitely broken down at that point. You have broken down, okay? So those are the things that just, you know, come up to my mind when I think about being spiritually broken. There's so many different facets that people can display, you know, symptoms of being broken down.
Yeah, and you keep saying spiritually, but, I mean, that's what we talked about last week, so it's funny that you keep saying that because we're talking about emotional, and it all ties into the same thing, whether we're talking about physical, and that's why I thought this was a great series to have. But this is my question, you know, what are some things that you guys feel, what are some scenarios or some situations that happen to most people to cause them to be broken emotionally? What are some things that tend to take place that are the most common things, especially with you, Kalina, based on your experience with working with patients and so forth, or clients, what are some things that you see are typical reasons or scenarios that people run across to become emotionally broken?
I think you mentioned it. A lot of it is unfinished business. And unfinished business has to do with experiences that we've had in our young years. For me, I think there's a basis of who we are as individuals because there's a developmental curve that happens in our lives where we're supposed to gain skills to deal with our life's issues. And if those skills are not gained, I'm doing that developmental curve, and that's usually from birth until about 8 years old, then if there's any interruption in those lessons, then we become adolescents and young adults without the tools by which to handle life. And that's pretty much the best scenario, and that's not the healthiest scenario. So when you add trauma into those developmental years, the trauma complicated by the absence of the lessons to deal with regular life trauma, then you life experience. You have the trauma, then you have regular life experiences, and both are absent with the skills. Then we grow up into an adult who's not able to handle anything that comes in their life, so we get these emotional reactions that tend to be extremely unhealthy, and they can go from one extreme of the physical that you talked about, headaches, stomach aches, blurred vision, weight gain, trauma, stress, okay, and it can go to the extreme with what we see in society as very violent behavior, criminal behavior. So there's a wide spectrum of what emotional breakdowns look like. So it's a very serious topic.
Definitely. And I want to talk about that a little bit further in a minute when you talked about you know, the whole piece of it, not only the physical piece, but about it being about that unfinished business. I thought that was pretty hot when you said that just now. I was like, whoa, that's deep. But before we go into that, Io, you know, Dr. Io, just talking about the physical piece of it, what are some things that you come across with you being a doctor and you're coaching people on holistic health and so forth? What are some things you come across for you to see how the emotional hurt and so forth affects people in a physical way?
Oh, my goodness. You know what, Stacey, that's a good question because in the pharmacy, I see it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every single day, emotionally broken people. You know, whether it's spiritually broken, I mean physically broken, just with the amount of antidepressants that people are on and antipsychotic agents and anti-anxiety drugs. I mean, oh, my gosh. And it's like, you can just see it in their eyes. You know, like I'm sitting at the window and I'm counseling patients on, you know, they're taking 4 to 5 different, they're on like 2 or 3 different antidepressants and a couple of antipsychotic drugs and you can just see it. And guys, this picture is anybody and so many people. I mean, you would never guess who these people could be, really and truly. It's only that I can see it because I see it every day. So I see the signs, I see the symptoms. But, you know, where they've just given up, where they're starting to look for something outside of yourself to gain happiness and peace from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not going to come from an external source. And that's what people feel like the drugs do. It's an external substance that's controlling how you react to things, controlling how you feel, you know, where it can numb out your whole part of your brain where you feel and care and even love, you know, where it just, because it can just, you know, it can kill that. It just numbs it. And you just see that they're just numb to everything and just giving up. And I think that's the, you know, and it's so funny because when you get to a point where you get to a point in your life where you realize that each day is, you know, live it like it's your last and where you have a true love of life. And most of the time that only comes when you see some type of a tragedy or you've gone through something where you're like, dang, you know, I really need to appreciate life. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, that's usually when you hit that point, you know, something happened and you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, it's really just that short. When you hit that point is when you wake up in the morning and you're like, you're just thankful for being alive. You know, just thankful that you've made it through another day. And I love when I go somewhere, and it's like simple things, like I'm in the McDonald's drive-thru, and this is not a promo for McDonald's, guys, okay? But side statement there. Don't be at McDonald's every day.
Yeah, let me get some coupons or something.
Okay. This is not a plug. McDonald's is not endorsing this show, okay? We wouldn't be mad if y'all were, okay, any executives out there, but no, seriously.
Okay.
Look, we start doing commercials on here, like we
I know.
Look,
really
we gotta pay the bills, y'all. We gotta pay.
We're talking about that external part of it, people trying to numb themselves with medication and stuff, and it's not only with medication. You hear people take, you know,
mm-hmm.
taking drugs and people drinking,
yep, alcohol,
people smoking,
mm-hmm.
people, yeah, just doing all kinds of things. People do all types of things, whether it's crazy behavior, all types of things, just to numb themselves, to not deal with the issues at hand. But like Kalina said, you know, it really has to do with unfinished business. And many people don't want to resolve the unfinished business. A lot of people don't even want to acknowledge the fact that there
hard.
Is unfinished business. It's hard and it's scary,
yeah.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we talk about all the time. You know, with Kalina, you know, doing Yapata, which is a great call that she hosts, and also with me doing Heart to Heart and, you know, talking to individuals and getting this feedback and always having people ask me about, you know, to talk about these topics, to talk about overcoming obstacles, to talk about, you know, dealing with fear and dealing with hurt and so forth. There's so many people that struggle with this, but many people don't know how to go about correcting it. First of all, many people are afraid to even deal with it and address it, you know. And then sometimes on the other end of that spectrum, you run into people that always want to be the victim. You know, they stay in this victim role forever, and it just cripples them. It disables them. They're never able to move forward in any other area. You know, you can be emotionally broken in relationship, for example, but you'll see it trickle down into different areas of your life. you know, whether it be in business or whatever it may be. You'll see it just, it trickles out everywhere. And that's why we talk about it. It's so important when we talk about this on Mind Shift, is that Mind Shift is to get you to think outside of the box, for you to be able to embrace different perspectives, to see things from a through different lens, basically, because it's about transforming every single area of your life, whether it's your finances, whether it's your emotions, whether it's your health, whether it's your spirituality, whatever it may be. You know, it all works together. There's this synergy that has to take place. There has to be this balance. And that's why it's important for us to have these discussions like this. But like I said, you know, about dealing with it first, about dealing with the issues, about dealing with the insecurities, you know, that's the first step. And you have to be bold. It takes a lot of courage to do that. And it happens for different people at different stages in their life, obviously. But like you said, Io, it's funny, some people have to go through a really major event, sometimes a crisis, before they start to acknowledge, you know, what's going on in their lives, before they start to become more appreciative, before they become more grateful and thankful for what's going on in their lives. It's unfortunate that we're made that way. Sometimes we have to be broken down, like really beat down, before we can be built back up. And hopefully that's where people will be by the end of listening to this show. They'll be to the point where, you know, they say, I've been broken down. I'm tired of being beat down. I'm ready to change now. I'm ready to try something different. You know, basically, if you are one of those individuals and you're listening to this right now and you feel like, you know, I've been on this emotional roller coaster, you really don't have anything to lose by trying to learn something new from the show right now. You don't have anything to lose by changing your behaviors and changing your habits, because what's the worst that could happen? You'll still be broke down and beat down anyway. You know what I mean? But you know, I'm just saying, I mean, what's the worst that can happen?
Yep.
You'll still be beat down.
Right.
So why not try something different, you know, just flirt with it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, talking about the unfinished business piece, you know, Kalina, now when you talk about people having unfinished business, say, for example, and I'm just going to throw out some things, because these are things that whether I've gone through it, my friends have gone through it, whomever it may be. But the main one I'm going to go back to is relationship, okay? Relationship, because that just seems to be like the number one reason, especially when I'm dealing with women and talking to women and counseling with women, it's always some type of emotional scar that took place in terms of relationship, whether that relationship was with a boyfriend, a husband, maybe even their father. And this will be a great topic for us to have on another show. But just going back to that, you know, how do people deal with that? Say, for example, it's something that started from a relationship that they've had in the past. It could have been 5 years ago, 5 months ago, whatever it may be. How do they start to deal with that in order for them to move forward and have healthier relationships?
Okay, Stacey, you will always hear me say when I talk, because it's very important that we are actually communicating and just not talking, because there's a difference, at least in my mind, between the two, because we can just talk, and nothing happens. There's no interchange. Communicating for me means that we start on an even plane, and we have the same definition for the words that we're using so that we can actually share information. So it's very important that anytime I am asked to answer a question, that I have some understanding that people who are listening to me are able to hear me through the ways of communicating. So I say again, the things that are most important is to begin to understand that developmentally there is a period in our lives where we are to learn coping skills. And for whatever reason, that does not happen. And first thing is the realization that there is a method to the madness. And a lot of what you're talking about happens in our adult lives, in our young adult lives, and in our adolescent lives, because we did not get those skills during that period of development that would have then given us the ability to handle it in a more healthier way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one piece. So unfinished business comes about when we experience life's traumas and are void of the skills to deal with it. And I always say that people aren't able to make the change. When I hear people say they don't want to, I disagree with that, because I believe that if we are able to do it, we will not sit in stress and pain and trauma. What usually happens is, for the most part, people are not aware that they lack the skills. So they go forth in the attempt to make some resolution with what's going on in their lives without actually having the skills. So it takes a realization. It takes programs such as this. It takes the conversation to have to for people to at least begin to fathom the thought that, you know what, maybe I don't have the skills. And one of the things that will help you understand that is if you look at your life and you're pretty much going around in circles, if you find yourself in the same place that you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, as it relates to relationships, as it relates to jobs, as it relates to your finance, as it relates to your physical, you have these aspirations and dreams. However, you're not able to obtain them. And for some people, you may even obtain them. However, you're not able to maintain them. So that goes with you first realizing that the skill in order for this to happen is void. You don't have it. And then you begin to understand where to go to get them. And then for me, of course, being a therapist, I absolutely stand firm on therapy is the place that you go. And when we talk about psychotropic medication, it has to do with, in my opinion, if you are diagnosed and if medication is part of your treatment plan, then medication is put in place in order to give you a chemical balance, i.e., bring you to a place of stability so that you can then acquire the skills. Because any psychiatrist worth his or her weight in salt will not prescribe psychotropic medications without mandating the patient, the client, the consumer go to therapy, because medication cannot teach you how to deal. Medication can prepare you in order to learn the skills so that you can deal. So that's just how serious and very comprehensive that this process is. However, if we don't hear it, which I then again applaud you and appreciate the fact that you are putting together a format by which people could at least begin to hear that there is a method to the madness. Most times is a very long set in what you're dealing with, and there is a way by which to put this to rest, become stable, and live a happy, productive life. So that's my response to that question.
You know, and you just mentioned medicine, and Dr. Ayo was talking about medicine, and guys, to be honest with you, it scares me because, I mean, it just makes me think, you know, think about our parents and, you know, in generations before us when they didn't have medication to deal with these things. You know, there may be some people listening right now saying, okay, what about when my parents and my grandparents didn't have medicine to cope? You know, what was the difference back then about how they were able to deal with things versus now? You know, why is it that now, and I'm not against medicine in any way. I mean, I agree with the therapy and everything. I just don't fully understand. It just makes me think sometimes, like, what's the difference? Why is it that we're in need of medication and so forth for us to deal with these issues when generations before us didn't need that? Was there something else that they used? You know what I mean? Like, I guess I'll ask you that, Io, first, with you being the doctor and all. But what were people doing before all this medicine and stuff?
Oh, my goodness. You know I'm smiling because I'm like, Kalina is hitting some, she is hitting some issues right here. I'm like, y'all, we got a whole nother conversation about to get started right now. But, you know, let me tell you guys what, I am a pharmacist that is, I'm not going to lie to y'all, I really would say I am anti-medications. I'm not even going to lie to you. I think there are definitely circumstances that people need to be on medications, but I think a lot of the majority of people that I see, the amount of drugs that they're on, that it's not, the medication's not going to do it. You know, do not get it twisted. It's, you know, when I was doing rounds in psychiatric hospitals, and, you know, you can tell when, you know, we're not talking about people that are, you know, schizophrenia, where it's, you know, it's a difference. A lot of the people that I see that are trying to use medications as medications they think are the way out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how I feel about it now. It's very commonplace to let me go look for a pill to fix me. You know, and that's how they pitch it, is everything that you, when you're sitting here watching TV, everything is emotional stimuli. It's to build an emotional need, incite something in you to make you feel like something is wrong about the way that you are. You know, if you're very shy and you don't want to, you know, you're not just want to talk to everybody, you might have a social anxiety disorder. If you're out, you know, and not to say that these things cannot be diagnosed and they'd be really real, that this person really may have a social anxiety problem when they go out and, you know, but a lot of the times that I see, and this is just my limited scope of it and my opinion of it, is like Paulina said, psychiatrists that are worth their weight in salt, okay? The problem, one of the problems that I have with the scientific community and, you know, with the science, everything is supposed to be validated. It's scientific study and it's evidence and, you know, it's proof, fact, okay? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, the human factor comes into that, and depending on how I want to interpret this and pitch it to you is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I mean? So when it comes to, does this 3-year-old really have ADD?
Mm.
You know, is this 4-year-old really bipolar? You know, I have a problem with that. I have a problem with I think in our society, it's just we have to continuously be, something has to be wrong with you. Like, it, you know, even if, and I, now that I realize and I'm old and I understand that it's okay to be weird, it's okay to be different, you know, I'm serious, Stacey. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, back in the day, you know, a lot of the people that are really highly successful people, you're weird. You know, when you go back and you see your reunion, it's the people that were a little bit outside the box that probably did a lot better than the ones who wanted to be like everybody else. You know, so it's just that's where my problem comes, is when I sit down and I watch TV and I see the stimuli that they're, you know, the media is feeding us, is fear, you know, fear everything, fear walking out your door, fear everything, just fear, live on fear. One day you're going to fall out and die from a heart attack, you need this pill, you know, I mean, it's just everything, you know, you're scared to ride on a plane because a terrorist might get you. I mean, you know, it's just, that's what I feel like, it's just fear, and it's not enough of just enjoying the moments in life, you know, is something wrong with me, you know, I'm not right because my hair isn't this way, or I don't have these fly clothes, or I don't drive this car, or, you know, I'm not whoever with the Bentley, or I don't live in this house, or, you know, whatever it is.
Like, exactly.
That's, I think back in the day, the same issues, though they were, they're different issues, but some of the same things are fundamental. Like things that our parents were worried about, or our parents' parents are worried about, their struggles were not necessarily the same struggles that we have now. You know, which is why a lot of the younger generations, they don't understand. You know, when you were to think back that it was just in the 1960s that, you know, 1956 that Coretta Scott was, you know, we had the Civil Rights Movement, Martin Luther King, we had, you know, they were still sitting on the bus doing the bus boycott.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, those are serious worries in your life. And to now to think, you know, my biggest worry might be like, well, man, do I feel like going to work today? I don't really want to go to work today. You know, and because of this, I'm depressed now. I'm just, you know, it's just like, oh, man, the whole world just needs a mind shift.
Yes. Amen.
Wake up, y'all.
But it's true. Like, our issues are totally different issues. Like, why can't I just be having a day where I'm just a little blah? Why do I have to be suffering from depression? You know, why does it have to be so severe? You know, and it's true. And I just had to ask you guys that because I know you guys both know a little bit more about this. And, again, you know, I don't pretend to know all this stuff because I don't. And that's why I thank God that I have friends like you guys and colleagues and so forth that can, you know, shed some light on me, because a lot of things I do have questions about. You know, and the medication piece was just a question for me because I was just thinking, like, you know, my parents didn't have medication, you know, especially for those of us that have families from different countries and so forth. They really didn't have the resources and what's available to us now. So it's totally different. But, you know, thinking back, what did our parents do? What did our grandparents do? They prayed. You know, they sat in church super long on Sunday. You know, they were there from sunup to sundown. You know, they were there for Bible study. They were there, you know, they were around the house singing hymns. And it was just different. It was a different time. Or family would come together. People actually talked back then. You know, people would come together for Sunday dinner. You know, it wasn't about just sending a quick text message. They couldn't send a text message or email. You had to write a long letter, you know, or you had to go spend the weekend over at Uncle Billy's house. Or, and it's funny, I just use Billy names. Billy name, that's funny. But, you know, I don't know why I use Billy's name. Bless your heart, Billy. He must be listening to us. But, you know, it's like it was different. The way we dealt with things, the way we coped with things was totally different than how we deal with things now. And it's just so sad that we have so many more resources and tools and aids available to us, but then now you're seeing more people even broken. Like the brokenness is even more severe than it was back then. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's yep. Like now you have people jumping off highways and you have people, you know, just doing all kind of crazy things that's just unheard of. It's just crazy to me. But, you know, and that's why I think, again, you know, it's just important for us to discuss it. And I love having you ladies on here. You know, it would be nice to, I guess, have a guy on here. And if there's any guys out there that want to share your perspective, because I know you might think it's just a whole bunch of estrogen going on right here and, you know, whatever, maybe we're emotional. But, you know, if there's any guys out there that are listening, if you want to share your perspective, feel free to, you know, dial in, give us a call, let us know what you think. You can reach us at area code 347-989-0206. Again, it's 347-989-0206. The lines are open. But, you know, I would love to hear what some guys have to say about this, because when we talk about being emotionally broken and so forth, everyone just seems to think it has to do with only women. And there are several men that are struggling as well emotionally. There are several men that have been hurt, that have been broken down as well. So it's not just about
They're definitely women. Struggling.
Yeah, right? And it's even more pressure for them because they have to be the man at all times. They can't deal with emotions.
That's right.
It's unfortunate, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah, if anything, I think, you know, the guys out there are probably feeling a little bit more than us because they have so much responsibility on their plate. I mean, not saying that we don't as women. I mean, as you said, you know, I'm a woman, hear me roar. But, you know, our brothers, you know, are out there and they're struggling. They're going through a lot of things. They're dealing with a lot of burdens and a lot of pressures. And so they also have to deal with this as well. But, you know, just going back to about the part about, you know, Kalina made a really good point about how people have to be able to address it and they have to be able to deal with the unfinished business. But what about some people that don't even realize they're broken? That's even scarier because some people are actually going through life thinking everything's fine when it's not.
And that's why I say, Stacey, that, you know, the way that becomes more apparent is for shows such as this to keep saying to people that if you look at your life and you find yourself pretty much at the same place, you know, every 5 or 6 years you wind up where you didn't expect to wind up, these are some of the symptoms that you can look at and begin to realize that maybe there is something that's going on. Mm-hmm. And if I can, I'd like to say something about the question you ask about our families and our parents and our grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
For me, what I've come to understand is that they pretty much experienced a lot of what we are experiencing. And for me, it was sad because they did not have the resources. So oftentimes, they found different ways to self-medicate. And I don't disagree that because of the level of spirituality that was prevalent among the African Americans, specifically right after the slavery piece and all of this, that was a comfort for our families. However, the thing that I've seen in my research and in my experience is that because they did not have a structured, formal way of dealing with these stressors, that the behaviors were conditioned in a lot of their children, which then
mm-hmm.
became parents themselves, which then became grandparents themselves. So what you and the doctor
Io.
Was talking about, Dr. Io was
mm-hmm.
talking about, and what people tend to talk about in the African-American community more specifically is really the results of our grandparents and great-grandparents not having the skills to deal with their own emotional stresses and the behaviors and the offshoot of that being passed down to us. And yes, now it seems like we are more multipliably affected by things in our lives, because if we go back generationally, we had no skills. We were not given the skills because our parents didn't have them. They made it through somehow. And I am not anti-prayer, because I pray every day, three times a day, consistently and non-ceasingly. However, in conjunction with that, I am excited because I now have a place where I can go through my prayers and get the skills that I need. And secondly, when it relates to medication, I was definitely anti-medication in the beginning of my career because I didn't understand it. And as I grew to understand it, my position presently is pretty much like Dr. Io. I think that people are over-prescribed medication, no doubt, especially when it comes to our young children, and most especially when it comes to our young African-American male children. I think that we're getting diagnoses that are not warranted, and they're receiving medication that's not needed. However, on the other side of the spectrum, I think that when medication is prescribed accurately, and that's to the best of whomever is describing its ability, the thing that needs to go along with the medication is the understanding of how it affects us physiologically and how it also can become very addictive in some cases, and how we can then learn the skills to lessen the dosage of the medication, to lessen even the need of the medication, because, again, medication should be looked at in the short term in most diagnoses. There are some diagnoses, psychological and emotional diagnoses, personality disorders, that will need to be medicated for the long term. But those are the extreme cases. Generally speaking, medication should be for a period of time while you're learning the skills to manage your life in a healthy way and then move away from the drug, because medication is a drug, which is a drug, which is a drug.
Definitely. And we actually have someone that wants to share some information. We have someone that called in and has a comment on what you're saying. Give me one second, okay, Kalina?
Sure.
Okay. Kalina, we have Robin on the line, and Robin wanted to talk about, she said she wanted to make a comment on the things that you were just saying about, you know, things passing from generation to generation. So, Robin, the line's open. You can go ahead and share your thoughts now.
And what I was saying is that I totally agree with what Ms. Kalina is saying, because I saw that through my own experience. My mother was the type of person that held on to, you know, certain emotions, the anger and the resentment and the bitterness. And even my mother's 60-something years old now, and she still is that type of person. So she never has even gotten healing or been able to release those things. But even in my own personal life, I'm almost, you know, 40-something. I'm in my 30s, you know, entering into my 40s. And I am just now coming to the point where I'm comfortable with me, because I never was able to deal with some things in my life that had happened, you know, way back in my childhood, and saw that cycle of repeat, you know, failure, you know, things looking better for a while, and then you zip right back into that cycle somehow, not even really knowing that most of the behaviors you were exhibiting were self-sabotaging. And so I'm a parent now, and so I'm finally coming into my own, but my prayer is somehow that I've not too much affected my daughter by some of the things that I had gone through and demonstrated because I don't want it to continue to pass down to generation beyond myself.
Definitely. Now, Robin, at what point, you know, at what point did you realize that some of the things that you were doing were self-sabotaging? How did you come to the point to realize that?
After going through, I guess, two major events, because the first event that I'd gone through, you know, I had my daughter, and it was very traumatic with me having her and not having her father as, quote-unquote, my significant other and finding myself in a position of being a single parent. That was most traumatic. And so, you know, recovering, going through that, getting myself together, going back to school and whatnot, you know, I'm thinking, oh, life is getting ready to change. Things are going to be different. Well, somehow I reverted back into that same pattern of thinking and it ended up back in the same situation. And it was just like, wait a minute, didn't I just go through something similar to that? It's like, you know what I'm saying? And it caught me off guard because in my mind, I thought I was over it. I thought I had dealt with it. But somehow I was blindsided and didn't realize it until I was back in that situation.
Stacey, may I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Robin?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Have you ever gone to therapy?
I had brief encounters with therapy. I did a couple sessions, and that was really after my second episode, and basically, you know, I ended up having gotten pregnant again without a significant other or husband, and basically I did lose my son as a result of the pregnancy, but I did have some small counseling after that, but it wasn't anything extensive, I will say that. It was just enough to say, okay, I'm feeling a little bit better about myself. I think I can get it from here. I can take it from here.
Right. And that is the thing, because, again, Stacey is to be commended, because this is the place where we can begin to talk about that. And let me say this on the forefront. There's no one answer to all of what we're seeing and what we're talking about as it relates to being emotionally broken. However, one of the things that we can look at is the fact that our families, African-American families, are headed by African-American women. 70% of our families are. These are glaring red lights. These are red flags. These are things that we can begin to look at and say, why? And when we ask the why question, it always takes us back, because we live what we learn and we learn what we live. And when we begin to understand that it started a long time ago, and it has not been resolved. And I commend you, Robin, for sharing, because you absolutely positively are talking about what I talk about every day in my work. In the clinic where I work presently, I'm working with young women, young single mothers, and we can't help but to go back to their mothers and then back to their grandmothers and then back to their grandmothers. And we keep going, and we keep finding these women who have been suffering for years and has not gotten any help. And now in 2010, we're seeing like a fifth, sixth, seventh generation, and they are crippled, and they are crawling, and some of them are making it to therapy, and for the first time beginning to realize, wow, if I don't get myself together, then my daughter or my son is going to have the same issues that I have. So, yeah. There is a method to the madness, and it looks like long-term, you know, intervention and introspection and learning the tools that our parents were not privy to. They just didn't have it available. They did the best they could with what they had, and we have to appreciate that. We have to love them for it, and we have to understand that we have a better opportunity to do better.
Robin, I thank you for calling in. That was awesome. Thank you for sharing.
No problem. Thanks.
You're welcome. And that's just what I said earlier, Kalina. You know, it's really about being bold, about taking the first step. Many people are afraid to even deal with the issues at hand. And then you have other people like Robin that don't even realize there's a problem until it gets so out of hand or until it happens time after time after time. So there's a cycle. You know what I mean? And I appreciate you for just even sharing that perspective, because really you just blew my mind with that, because this whole time I've been thinking about the topic for this week, and I've been thinking about the whole, you know, emotional hurt and the things that we've done or our own personal experiences and how they're affecting us now. But I didn't even think about, you know, the hurt that we may feel or the effects that we're feeling from what our parents may have gone through, you know, because many times we look at it and say, okay, and that was my perspective prior to us having this discussion, was just like, you know, our parents dealt with things a certain way, and now here we are, you know, this new modern society, we're dealing with things totally different. And when I think about it, I think about the scope of the situation and the problems and the circumstances they had to deal with. You know, it's like there was so much more they had to deal with back then. But really, it's just different. It's just a shift, basically, you know, and it's great to have you on, you know, to share these different perspectives, because there's new ways to deal with things. I'm still not 100% sold into all the medication, just to be honest with you, but, you know, and we've talked about this before, I'm totally an advocate of counseling and so forth, and it's sad that it's somewhat of a stigma, especially in our community, you know, for people going to counseling. It's just like, I don't have to do it, especially when you talk to African-American men, unfortunately, you know, and you probably run across that.
Oh, definitely. You know, one of my, slogans, mantra is, you don't go to therapy because you're crazy. You go to therapy so you won't be crazy. And, you know, and that's the piece, because, you know, the thing is, it's not surprising that as a community we are still not engaging therapy on a healthy level, because historically that has been our story. Anything that's healthy and good for us, we tend to get last. I mean, I don't know if anyone's on the line. I know you're too young, Stacy, but I can remember going to elementary school and getting secondhand books, and for a long time didn't even realize that there was such thing as a new textbook. I can remember being in the seventh grade before I got a brand new textbook. We used to get old textbooks and have to erase them. And, of course, if they were old, they were two or three editions behind. And I can remember our biggest thing on the first day of school, along with our books, we got these big thick erasers, and we got the erasers to erase all the answers and the markings out of the books. However, I was proud of those books because I didn't know any better. And when I got to seventh grade and got my first new book, I was puzzled, because I can remember clearly thinking, where'd this come from? You know, and then I thought, if that's been around all this time, why haven't I gotten a new book before now?
Exactly.
And so I use that analogy to say to whomever is listening, as a people, we need to stop being comfortable with secondhand. However, as humans, we don't know we're getting secondhand until it comes to our realization. Hear me. There is information out there that can help. There are resources that will take you to a total new place of existence. I promise you that if you begin to realize that there is a method to the madness, there's resources that can help. There's not one answer. There's several answers. And combining those answers in a healthy way will take you to a better place.
Definitely, because what works for one person may not work for the next person. You know,
exactly.
It's the same way that we learn differently. And when you think about raising children, for example, you can't raise children all the same way. Like, we learn about different temperament types and different personalities, so you have to deal with children differently. And I think, you know, sometimes we get caught up in thinking everything has to be so cookie cutter, you know, like there's this cookie cutter society, and one size does not fit when you're dealing with, especially with situations like this, when you're dealing with hurt, you're dealing with, you know what I mean? It's not a one size fits all, you know, and many people don't realize that, and I'm hoping now that people will start to realize that, you know, even thinking about looking into Robin just now. and she didn't realize that there was a problem, and so it happened, you know, repeatedly, you know, when things started to happen. And for those of you that may be listening and you're going around and you're thinking, like, are there some issues that I'm dealing with or I'm not really clear, you know, I encourage you, and I say this all the time, like, sometimes we have to take a step back and we have to take the self-assessment, and we have to really look at our lives and be completely honest with ourselves. You know, a lot of times it's hard for us to be honest because we want to feel like we're just always doing the right thing. We don't want to acknowledge that we've played any part in the hurt or the trials that we've gone through. You know, it's so easy to play that victim role. It's so easy to take that passive approach. You know, but again, I can't stress it enough. It really takes this bold move for you to say, you know what, this is how my life has been. These are the things that I've been dealing with over and over and over again, and I'm tired of it. It's time to do something different. It's time for me to get some different results. And how am I going to get those different results? And again, it goes back to what we've been talking about. You have to start thinking outside the box. You have to start embracing new ways of thinking. You know, if you've been hanging around the same people for the last 10, 20 years and you haven't been, no one's moved or evolved out of that circle, it's time to do something differently. And it's the same thing with your emotional health. You know, you have to take a hands-on approach, you know, to every area of your life. You have to take a hands-on approach to getting emotionally healed. And so ask yourself, you know, what are some areas that I've been struggling in time after time? Where am I seeing, you know, a repeat and a three-peat of situations happening in my life? Why am I running into this hurt time and time again? Be honest with yourself. You know, there was this, just this past Sunday, actually, yesterday at church, our pastor did this, he had to do this exercise, and he encouraged everyone to go home, and he said, you know, write down a list of your insecurities, you know, things that you've been insecure for some years or whatever it may be, and start to acknowledge them and deal with them. You know, we don't even realize it's more than just what's on the surface. You know, oh, okay, my butt's not big enough, or, you know, my stomach's not flat enough. It's so much deeper than that. There's a lot of insecurities that, and I'm thinking back to what you've been talking about as far as our parents. A lot of it has to do with how we've been programmed, you know, the things we were exposed to, the things that we saw, you know, how our parents carried themselves. You know, how our grandparents responded to certain situations. A lot of it has to do with that conditioning and that programming. But you don't really realize it until, again, like Robin said, until Kalina says, until you run into this cycle and you're running to the same issues over and over and over again. And that's when it's time to put the brakes on it, you know?
Yes. And one of the things I want to say before we get to leave is that professionally, legally, and ethically, I must say that this is a very serious topic. And if you have never done introspection before, then I would suggest that you do seek out some form of professional assistance. Something as simple as going in and just saying, I'd like an assessment. And what an assessment does, it gives you a clear picture of your mental status and where you're functioning. Because at some point, when we begin to delve into our past, it can become overwhelming. So I'm not saying, and I want to say very loudly, I don't expect anyone to be able to deal with this on their own. I would highly suggest that you look for some level of support before you get into it too deeply. So that's another part that's very important, that if it's something that's very new to you, hearing us talk hopefully will bring you to the point of saying, let me just go and see, not necessarily attempt to deal with it on your own, because sometimes that's not advisable. And as we say before, everyone's different, though I would be remiss in my duties if I didn't mention very seriously that in some cases you may want to have professional assistance even in the beginnings. Later on, you may be able to deal with it on your own. So I wanted to make sure and put that on the table.
Now, what about for those people that don't feel like they have access to the resources, you know, for counselors and so forth? What about those people that say, I don't have insurance, I don't even know how to get started with getting help?
And I don't know how widespread your listening audience is, though in most metro areas, they have what you call community service boards. And the community service boards are places where you are dealt with mental health and physical mental medicine on a sliding scale basis. So if your income is zero, then your cost is zero. If your income is $10, then it's dealt with per your income. Presently, that's where I am. So if anyone's in the city of Atlanta, you can share my information. I don't know if it's on your website or not, but you can get in touch with me locally. And where I'm working presently, it's absolutely on a set sliding scale, and the entire metro Atlanta is available to come. So I'm thinking, and living in different places across the United States, that they are very similar clinics, centers, community centers, local centers, where someone can go and avail themselves to free services. So,
okay. So they can, you know, even start off online, just maybe Google or something like that, just looking for free resources in their area.
Yeah, Community Service Board, County Mental Health Centers, places of that sort, and that should be pretty national.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if anyone couldn't find something of that nature.
Definitely. And also for those people, I think some people are still afraid, you know, sometimes to even take that step. Even that, just going online and doing the research can be scary for some people.
Mm-hmm.
But for those individuals, I would say even if you just started off, you know, Queen advises you to talk to someone. I would say even if it's just, you know, a friend, if it's someone in the church, if maybe there's a coworker or a mentor or someone that you respect or someone that you trust, but just someone, you know what I mean? You may have to work up the courage to get to the point where you want to seek professional counseling. But in the meantime, if you're ready to you know, dive into this and you say, okay, I'm ready now to do something differently, I do want to start to confront these issues, maybe even a friend that you trust, you know, or a family member, someone else's family member, whomever it is, you know who that person is that you feel you can trust that will be honest with you. And I think that's another important piece, is to have someone that's unbiased, that can really just listen to you. Sometimes we go to individuals to talk to them, and especially with friends, you know, we go to talk to them and they care so much about us and they just bombard us with their ideas and their own opinions and don't really let us express ourselves. They don't hear what we have to say. And that's what I love about going to professional counselors, because you're able to just completely be yourself and just share everything you're going with and just have that conversation guided in an appropriate way. And sometimes you talk to friends and family and you don't get that. So just be very careful with that. Make sure it's someone that isn't biased, someone that is open to hearing your perspective and just, you know, being there for you. But, you know, Kalina, as always, I mean, I just always learn so much from you. I thank you again. I can't thank you enough for being with us tonight, and I look forward to having you on some other discussions coming up in the future. But this is for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This is the end of Mindshift Talk Radio. I hope you were able to get something from it. Make sure you join us again next Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And make sure you're spreading the word and just sharing this with other people that you feel may be encouraged and that would be able to benefit from this. But as always, thank you. I wish you much, much peace, much success, and we will speak to you next week, same time, same place, here at Mindshift Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Mindshift Radio.